Whispers, Sultry Short Stories. Story 7, Pillow Talk. Nathaniel sighed heavily. It was the end of a long day of disappointments. He was losing hope he will ever find the right person for the job. 200 years of family heritage, impeccable reputation, not only in Europe, in all the colonies, from the New World to China. And now it looks like it will end with him, Nathaniel Dougherty. And with him, the secret to the majestic Dougherty pillows. Ah, the shame of it. The blasting, ruinous shame. Alba knew of the famous pillow maker. Who didn't? And she knew not to hope to get the job either. Many have tried. Women stronger than her, smarter than her, prettier than her. Most of them even experienced pillow makers. Some would travel for days on horseback and on foot just for the chance to work for the great Master Nathaniel, pillow maker to kings and queens. None succeeded. Still, Alba had to try. She didn't even know why. She had never made a pillow in her life. Though no one actually knew what the job would involve anyway. It was a kind of mystery position. When the little brass doorbell breaks the silence, Nathaniel is ready to throw the intruder out of the shop, whoever they are. But he doesn't. He just stares at the apparition in front of him. A plain peasant woman, to be sure, and those piercing eyes worn of insolence. But when the door behind her closes shut, it sends a small gust of air forward, a mere whisper of air that whiffs past the woman and brings her scent right to Nathaniel's proud nose. He inhales, pauses, then once again, deeply. Can you dance? He asks briskly, before even asking her name. The most extraordinary few weeks follow. This training is taking forever, thinks Alba. She is an apprentice and is never given any tasks. No cleaning, no washing, no polishing of silver. Instead, every morning and every afternoon, they bathe her. They dress her up in clean, plain petticoats and then take her to the music room. And every time, a different musician plays an instrument. And Master Nathaniel is there, asking her to dance to the music. She does, of course. Day after day, she dances. She dances to plucky mandolins and playful galoubets, dreamy harps and stompy kettle drums, romantic guitars and cheeky pochettes. Truth be told, Alba loves dancing. She adores letting the music love her body. Playful or pensive, sweet or rebellious, sometimes pure, sometimes daring. She knows she can move. Her late mother called it a gift. She sees it as a need. It comes to her. From high above or from deep within, who knows, but it floods her heart with emotion and her body with heat. She loves feeling the sweat form in her armpits and drops of it trickling down her supple back, a tickle and a caress all at once. What Alba also loves is feeling the man's eyes on her. Now, the musicians, they are easy. With her first steps already, their mouths drop open, their gaze fixes on her body, and their feelings start to stir. Sometimes visibly rise. Master Nathaniel, however, is a tricky one. He is more than paying attention, to be sure. His stare is penetrating, a look of careful scrutiny, yet no judgment. No feeling at all, in fact. What strangeness is this? Pretty quickly, Alba starts to regard each new dance as a duel, her sinuous movements versus this man's mysterious poise. When will he crack? It's driving her mad. This is all taking forever, thinks Nathaniel. Every day, after every dance, Alba's petticoats are brought to him for inspection. He takes the folded garment, still moist from perspiration, and waits to be left alone. As soon as the servant leaves, Nathaniel buries his nose into the cloth. He inhales deeply, with curiosity and anticipation, and indeed hope. It is all too tantalizing. So close, but not right. Not yet. It's driving him mad. It's never taken this long to match the right dancer, the right instrument, and the right music. The woman is clearly right. She absolutely smells right. So what's missing? Why isn't he smelling it yet? His frustration is growing, as is the list of orders, which is fast becoming a list of complaints and even threats. He has to get back to business. Soon. And then it happens. A warm September night. Nathaniel can't sleep. Another long, frustrating day. Restless and mighty annoyed, he gets out of bed and stomps off to his workshop. The moonlight coming through the windows, the silence of resting machinery, the serene lightness of feathers in the massive wire mesh cylinder dominating the space. Normally, all this would bring him peace. Not tonight. Tonight he only feels frustration. And, dare he name it, fear. Alba wakes up with a start from the scariest dream. Her late mother was undressing her and nagging. What if you never win over Master Nathaniel? What if you never give him what he's looking for? How much longer before he throws you out? The little attic room suddenly feeling too dark and cold, Alba leaps out of bed and rushes out. Without thinking, she just follows her feet, down the stairs, through a door, more stairs, more doors, another and another. Without even realizing she is lost, Alba charges into the workshop. The sudden noise makes Nathaniel jump. Him jumping makes her freeze. So the two just stand there facing each other. He's shocked. She's out of breath. On her forehead, droplets of sweat glisten caught by the moonlight. He stares at this impudent sprite. She stares right back at him, almost frightened by her own courage rising. He steps towards her. She doesn't move, her eyes fixed on his. He brings his face close, really close. She straightens up even more. She will not bow. He brings his nose to her forehead, inhales. Silence. Long silence. Then, awareness of a strange urge building up inside him, something he's never experienced before. An impulse, a need to lower his face, to dive, to hook his jaw right into Alba's exposed neck. His nostrils are flaring, his lungs are filling up with the intoxicating drug of her sweat. Alba feels the exhilaration of standing tall and proud, holding steady against the fierce energy emanating from this man's body, from his very core. Then suddenly, clarity. She is an animal facing another, and it is not scary. It is thrilling. For the first time, she feels Master Nathaniel to be truly alive. She takes a deep breath, and a kind of thunderbolt shoots right through her body. The smell of him excited makes her shudder. At that very moment, Nathaniel's teeth sink into Alba's neck. A hard bite and a delirium of unknown sensations. By reflex, Alba's nails dig into his neck, as sharp as any bite. They both let out a growl, stare deep into each other's eyes. And then it hits them both. They know exactly what is about to happen. Nathaniel starts ripping off his nightshirt. Alba does the same, awaiting no instruction. Both naked, he scoops her up into his arms, effortlessly, and carries her into the mesh cylinder. The slamming shut of the cylinder door disturbs the feathers, and they are suddenly enveloped in a swirling white cloud. He puts her down. She slaps his chest with both hands. He stomps his feet fiercely into the floor, disturbing more feathers. Like two predators, they start circling and measuring each other up, never losing sight of each other, even through the feathers wafting between them. And then, to the sound of their breathing and to the shuffling and stomping of their feet, they start to dance. It is raw, primal, enchant, one movement provoking another, each testing the other, taunting, daring. The more they dance, the more they both grow aware of a new realization. Neither of them has ever met their equal, not until now. Their bodies keep connecting, grips and grabs, lifts and spins, twists and dives, and increasingly caresses. They breathe each other's excitement. They feed off each other's want. She rips his back with her nails. He bites her right back, everywhere. She drops down to her knees to bite into his ass. He lifts her and spins her upside down. They topple on the feathers, and the first kiss takes them both by surprise. It is hungry. They literally grab hold of each other's head, as if making sure neither can pull back. But their bodies are still moving. The dance becoming horizontal only gives them more leverage, more power to swing and roll and grab hold of each other. Arms, legs, torsos, necks. They are dancing to the music of primal want. Both moving from subjugation to submission and back again, gnarling, snarling, rolling and spinning, howling and screaming. It's a dance of equals. By the time Nathaniel finds himself inside Alba, they are both so intertwined that neither knows who is penetrated and who is doing the penetrating. They grip onto each other with urgency and longing they never knew before. It is wild, literally and poetically. It is also very noisy. Servants and workers start to gather, sleepy but waking up fast, spooked, befuddled, some of them frightened. But Master Nathaniel is very clear. Without letting go of Alba, he shouts out orders.
Quick, blow the bellows, blow the bellows, go, get the pillows going.
And they do. Four workers grab four massive bellows fixed around the cylinder and start blowing air in. Inside, the feathers lift and swirl and dance around the lovers, infusing with their scent before floating up and up. The lovers continue pleasuring each other, barely hidden from everyone by all the feathers. At the top of the cylinder, other workers scoop the now scented feathers and stuff the pillowcases with them. And it all goes on, and on, until dawn. Alba quivering with waves and waves of pleasure. Nathaniel roaring, delighted and delirious. Smell this, smell it, breathe it, this is it. And it so came to be that the 200-year-old secret to the magic of the Dougherty pillows was revealed to the world. And just as they got better than ever before, Master Nathaniel was horrified. He feared that this will destroy him. But it didn't. What actually happened was that people loved falling asleep to the scent of the dance of primal love. And then there were those who claimed that these special pillows were making their spouses and lovers not sleep at all, and that this was very much a good thing.